Blog Talk Radio.
The man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4.
I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to sing along. Every voice and sing, till it in heaven rain, rain with the harmony, oh, liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high, loud as the orgia. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, thou who has brought us this far, oh, along the way, thou who has found thy might, say, to the light, keep us forever, in the past we pray.
Good God. How y'all doing this morning? Woo! It is a beautiful day outside. It's 49 degrees, which means I could cut off my heat. Just smells good outside. You know, in order to appreciate God, you got to appreciate nature. Because there's nothing. I mean, we're part of nature. We're part of God. Part of the dirt. You have to put the seed in the, in the ground in order for the food to come up. You still have dirt. It's like to really, those people who was really, that really enjoyed nature, they really did create. But there's something that happened. So we got several things we're talking about. I'm going to talk very briefly about Saturday. I don't want to spend a lot of time on last Saturday because these ministers are going to be marching today, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit. But let me just say this before I get into it. I was coming to the station this morning. You know, I had asked several of my friends and some other people I knew, why are they using the paddy wagons? You know, I got thrown up in the paddy wagon so much, a crowd come and they put them there. Even if you disperse the crowd and have their mamas come get them. But I didn't see no paddy wagon. So this morning, on my way in, I saw them paddy wagons staged everywhere. I was kind of glad to see the paddy wagon. Only because sometimes when you disperse the crowd, you got to, then you get to know their mama, get a chance to talk to them, to disperse the crowd. But I'm not going to linger on that too long because I'm not with these people who say it's only because of what people have. I got Dr. Anderson coming on at the 7 o'clock hour. So y'all make sure that y'all listen to him. We're going to talk about exceptional black. I was talking to a business person the other day, a black business person. And he's my age. And he said, Dorothy, our generation and the generation before us had less resources and less things than these children had. And he's even saying, it's the first time people had single parents. This is what he was telling me. He said, they always had single parents. And in fact, I said, you know, they've been giving us single parents since we've been in this country, really. How they, you know, but how the community was together and how we took care of our children and how we took care of our community and the children were first. And that, and how we just did things. And he reminded me, I never thought of it, he said, these people have more resources than our parents had or than we had. But there were some things that our parents told us what we had to do and how we thought. And I really thought about that. And I got so much I want to talk about today that I don't want to get too far in the weed on that because I got some very important things to talk about. But I think it's something everybody's talking all this stuff about what it is, what it ain't, but nobody will tackle the education issue. Nobody will tackle the fact that when you can't read and you can't function, you can't do math, you're functionally illiterate. Anybody can get you and lead you around. Or you want to be important, you'll get involved in stuff. And I think that out of all the talking they're doing, if they don't look at this education system and try to go in and make sure these children can read and can write and can think, I don't know. And I know that all the ministers are coming down today to march about what the young folks did the other day. Now, I'm not knocking y'all because a lot of the ministers are my friends and I know them, but we need to have a great march on the fact that these children are not being educated. Their schools are terrible. Only 11% of Chicago schools are proficient in math and English and reading. What 11% do you think that is? What about these ministers getting together? Now, some of them that's in the crowd, they have programs at the church. So I'm not going to take that away from them. They got different programs, different things. They got grants to have daycares. And they got programs that they do individually. A lot of them do. But I tell you, I would like to see the ministers and even the community people to get together all the schools in an area. You do it like when you're organizing politically, have area chairs, different areas come together and look at those schools and go to those schools and look and make sure, because my taxes are high, that our children are getting educated. When you look at, that's on first start with the educational gap. When you look at the Chinese community, now, don't tell me those folks are any smarter than we are. Nobody really is. That's why I'm having Dr. Anderson to come on and talk about American exceptionalism today. Because I want him to say all the things that we've done. When you got children, you're teaching them, you can't make it. We got to lower the grades. This white man keep you down because of systemic racism and white supremacy. Hey, what else can they do but be angry? You've been held down because of this, and not all the things that we've done, even, you know, but then they wake up and I think it's terrible, and I think you need discipline. I'm not going to say children are doing that because they don't have nothing in the community. I'm going right back to the community to talk to y'all, because somebody, baby, will get killed. But when you look at the Chinese community, how many billions of dollars do they representative get for them to build them a new school, because they know how important education is, and they did not want the children, their children, to go to school with these black children at DuSable, Philip, and Dumball. And those schools are under. So the Chinese are going to get all these billions, getting this billion of dollars from not only the city. Our representative voted for it. That's what's so deep, to give these folks that. But also the state. But at the same time, Urban Prep Academy Charter School was really doing good with these young men. I don't know what had happened. I got to see, because I lost track of it. They went to close that down. And they were really doing urban in there, but they did that. And in the Latina community, their representative went and said, we want a new school. And not only do we want a new school, to piss in your face, they get the CHA land to build it on. Now, one of the state reps had said that she preferred that it be somewhere else. But the fact of the matter is, they get a new school because they understand how important math and science and reading. Not this garbage. Not this garbage that they're telling us. Now, you got folks running around here talking about black history, which is part of the education. Here you go, here again, in the education department. And we got to teach those ABCs, and we got to teach about our civil rights. When it started with the civil rights movement, our history. But in that movement, talk about how many other folks was in there. Excuse me, y'all. How many? I need some water. Okay. How many? Those others. How many LGBT? All this stuff. Not our history. You start back, and it really they make our history be a downer. Whereas we didn't have no downers on our history. If they want to tell that stuff, fine. But they don't need to be talking that message they're going to teach. And our children feeling downward. I don't, like I said before, I don't peep in folks' closets. I don't give a damn. I don't care what they do. But it's our children we have to be concerned about. And this history that they put in our schools, I bet it's not going to be in those other schools. Did you see what those Africans did to Kamala when she was over there? Told her, don't bring this guy, all this stuff over. We're not with all this stuff. They really downed her. They did her pretty bad. I've never seen the African community do the America like that. But y'all need to look for that. Somebody sent it to me on YouTube. The whole thing of they told her to get them over here. We don't have the values y'all have. We don't want our children having those values. And they told them about them. When we was trying to do, y'all killed Gaddafi. It went through a whole lot. It's important that y'all look at that, because most of your regular news didn't show that too much. And they also told her she was not an African-American. That was deep. But as part of the history, our people sitting down there letting our representatives in our government tag this onto our history, and I don't understand why. Them folks want history, fine, but we have that is not our history, and I don't. I mean, why the sexuality got to be put in our history versus the other stuff? What, you couldn't get it on there? I have okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you. So, Evan, I want you to know that Justin taking care of me. But anyway, why you got to do that to us? And there again, it lowers young men and women's self-esteem. And nobody's addressing this, especially in the black community. You wake up in the morning, you count body bags. more than you counted in Vietnam. So that make them. I think about your child, because I don't have to work with my children, grandchildren, any of my extended children, because that really messes with them. They're not dealing with it. With the debt, they're dealing with the abortion pill. They're dealing with abortion. They're dealing with death. They're dealing with hate. There's no uplifting collectively in our community. Let me say that. This woman took prayer out of the school. I think all these ministers need to fight to get it back. I know Spencer Leak is trying to get it down there. He's trying to get it wanted. We talked in church about trying to get it back in schools and how do he introduce an ordinance to do that. And what made me say that? Because, you know, I think Ramadan ends today, and I'm not knocking anybody's religion, because after all, I have a lot of friends who are Muslims. I knew the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan was a very good friend of mine. And, you know, so I've been with the Rollins, the Muslim community, a long time, but I'm a Christian. But if you looked, if you read the paper this week, all through the paper, they was trying to make sure that they accommodated the Muslim religion. They knew that they were doing Ramadan, and they accommodated them with that. And even they accommodated with prayers. Now, there's something wrong, and not just the Muslim community or any other, that our country was built within God we trust. And if you look throughout history, it was the our people who was really believed, had faith in God. Even all of our leaders, Dr. King, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, all of our leaders, they prayed and they believed. And we let that get knocked out, and our children have no spirituality to make them feel good, to sit still when they get in school. The schools is not teaching them anything. And you got some good teachers in there, but they probably get overwhelmed. And if we're not, we are murdering our children's mind. We are destroying our children's ability to think. Yet they go to school every day for somebody to get paid. My taxes, I told y'all, is off the chain. I'm going to have to pay a late fee because I haven't been able to pay them yet. I'm putting money together to pay my taxes. And I usually pay my taxes on the first time around, but this time, boy, I had to play with it. But the children at Mollison and all around me and Philip and DuSav and all of them is not getting the quality of education. So how are they going to compete? You got folks who just got here, God rest their souls, and what are they doing? They're making sure, and you can't, and see, I'm not getting angry at the people. That's why y'all don't call me talking about getting angry at them. They're trying to make sure that their children get a quality education. Education to be able to compete. Like a lot of things that we fought for. Look at Malcolm X. Remember how the black community fought for Malcolm X and got all that stuff? Now they got, that's a very good junior college for medicine, for nursing, and RN and all of that. You don't have that many black students in those programs. You have mostly the other people of color. You have people of color over there. Why? Because if the black child don't know math and can't read, they got to struggle, or they just don't go over there. And that goes for all education. That's what I'm going to start. I'm dealing with education first on the top. And I'm going to have Dr. Anders at the 7 o'clock hour. So these are things I'm going through so that we can, at least I want y'all to think. I want y'all to think as we're marching today, after you go back, to get together and to make sure that you decide that you're going to get together and work on putting our religion, our spirituality back in the schools for the children. But not only that, but to make sure that we begin to teach them to read and write and take all these church communities in a group to work on our community as a whole, as a group. No egos. That's how the MIA was started. My pastor, Reverend Fields, was one of the was the first secretary of Montgomery Improvement Association, but the MIA was named because Ralph met Reverend Abernathy, and all of them said, "Well, we won't get caught up in the hang-ups of religion or what your denomination is. Let's just call it the MIA, the Montgomery Improvement Association." And that's how Dr. King came up out of that group. So I don't care what you call it, but after the march, because we didn't just march just to be marching. We marched with a purpose and a goal to go for. And I'm not knocking the ministers who's marching. All I got to say now, y'all got to go back. Because, see, most of the people I'm talking about, their children, most of these folks' children don't even go to public schools. They're in private schools or exceptional schools. Even the teachers, don't give me the soup you can't eat. And even your top leaders, they can say, my kids go to public, they go they're in the top schools. So what do you do when children are confronted every day with that? And that have no, that's no excuse to tolerate this senseless violence. And if we give them excuses, then you see what they do. But can we give the love, not when something happened, or when we're going to go and excuse after that? Can we get back to the discipline? Can we get with those two? You know how those children think y'all stupid. You want them to go to school, and they know there's nothing being taught in school. And they're telling those children about sex changes, taking a pill to stop puberty and all the other stuff, signs, and can't say mom and all that. They're teaching not math and signs. And, you know, when I was in school, there was dedicated teachers. And you still got some now who are dedicated. But you have to look at it. I said some. I don't know how many. But let me tell you the difference between the Chinese who's building that school and us. Now, they didn't have, I think, about one or two Asians on there. And they fought to teach history of the Asian community, about their history in this country. And some of it I have to question. And it started October. I do it every week. October 21st, they started the standard, including the following section called self-awareness relationship to others. System oppression. But anyway, go to these standards replace blah, 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 blah. Now, when you got to the Asian, they got all that diversity and all that stuff up top. Okay? When you do this and do that, that's for y'all. But the Asian American history, when it's taught, now when you look at this other, you will see diversity, planning for instruction, human development, all this mess. Okay? But then you get down to the Asian community. Asian American history taught in public schools, it must get started on July 9th. It got started on the 9th. Now, this other mess got started on 21st. Have nothing to do with us, but the Asians separated themselves out on the 21st in July. The Illinois passed an act requiring Asian American history to be taught in the public schools. The milestones made Illinois the first state in the country to make Asian American history a requirement in public schools curriculum, titled as the Teaching Equitable Asian American History Act. The new section of study in the Illinois school code would take full effect during the 22-23 academic year. So that means they're doing it now. These are the requirements, but that must be taught. The contribution of Asian American toward advancing civil rights. Now, but you teach us all this other stuff that we not qualified. We got to deal with systemic racism. We had this in our family, you know, just a bunch of mess. For advancing civil rights from the 19th century onward. How can you do that? How did they advance civil rights? The contribution made by individual Asian American in government. But we are down ours. Even if you don't like them, you still knock them. You don't say who they are. I don't care what their affiliation is. Like, y'all don't like Ben Carson, one of the greatest surgeons in the world, because he's a Republican. He have that right. The contribution made by individual Asian American in government, arts, humanity, and science. the contribution of Asian American community to the economic, cultural, social, and political development to the United States. Now, I'm trying to tell y'all something. That's what they, and then they go get their schools. Because, and you, I'm not mad at them. They, every animal, I watch a lot of animal shows, and every animal protect their young. You go near them. Black women, we used to do it too, but now they can't even give you a definition of a woman. I am a woman. I want y'all to know I am the definition of it. Look at me. But I don't know how the leadership in the black community can stay silent on the miseducation of our children. They too pay taxes. And they Peruvian, they people come, all those church people coming today, their folks come from their church and they praise God and they pay their tithes. If we don't tackle education issues, there's nothing you talking about. And make these children understand who they are. That's why I got Dr. Anderson coming on at 7 o'clock hour about exceptionalism. When you tell them, all they hear is abortion pill, abortion, I don't talk about that. How many died, how many did this, systemic racism. And they're these rich black folks, as that woman said at the hearing the other day. And your Europeans. A lot of them wouldn't have nothing to talk about if they didn't talk about this mess. If they switch, so when the children have turn on the TV or on their YouTube or on their social media, they begin to see more other stuff. They might feel better, but it's all you can do this, do this, separate from your mama, do this, do that, do that. But the fight is the education and economics, y'all. That's the fight. Now, we got the elected school board coming up. They're drawing the map, I think. They got to have it drawn by July. Are they talking about that? And our people sit down there and said that you don't have to be a citizen to vote in this election. I think that's wrong. I really think it's wrong. And I'm very humane and very everything else. But it's a poor dog won't wag his own tail. It's a bad road, crooked road that don't straighten out, my mama told me. And these folks are moving toward education and economics while they keep us fighting, giving up on our spirituality and our God of our weary years. They got us fighting doing that. We don't do that. We don't fight. They said, no, my child is going to have this in the school. I told you, Ramadan, they have really completely, and has, you know, accommodated them. So that's fine. But accommodate my child and their spiritual growth, too. That's only right. But you got one white woman that went up there and took it out. And there's enough of y'all ministers to fight to put this back in the schools. So they're putting it together, the map. And our people are not going to run for those school boards, or they're not going to be together enough to be able to help select someone to represent us, just like they got this local school council mess. So they got that coming up in July with that map. And when this, I got to watch this Martinez, who's saying that he's going to move away from budget based on student and school needs. He said he want to eventually base on student and school need, not enrollment. That's what he want to do, the budget. School need, not enrollment. So I got to get more into that and see what he's doing. He said he was sure the teachers union will agree with him on that. So we got to see what that is. I was looking at the other thing. Actually, I said I got so much stuff, and I want to get through so I can take some of y'all calls before I go to 7 o'clock hour. So you got the superintendent. I'm going to still say, okay, before I go to the superintendent of the police. So I want y'all to look at all of that school stuff and see what's going on with the budget and see the new schools they're building. If y'all not willing to fight for the education, all this marginal stuff don't mean nothing. Because these kids got to be able to think, and we got to be able to take them and put, you know, Paul had said take these empty schools and do something with them. And, you know, our churches used to be schools. when Marvin's parents was fighting, Marvin Collins, I talked to her often. She was a teacher in the public schools. She said, I inspired her to go to my own school. And I will always feel good about that. And she said, I went into her school. She told me, she said, you know, I had grown folks in who couldn't read. Well, when you take phonics out to school, y'all make them put phonics in the school. We sued to make them put phonics back into the school. When you know phonics, you can do anything. You got to know how to read. You got to know how to write. They got phonics out of the school. They got all this. So they said they're going to lower the grade standards so the children can pass. What you mean children can't fail? This make no sense. It's a disgrace what y'all allowing to happen to our children's mind. It's the parents' fault. No, it's not. I'm not saying, because I see these parents walking their children to school, to Mollison, every day passing my house, and they're happy, and they're skipping to that no education place. And not just Mollison, most of these schools. And I'm not saying we don't play a role, but I'll give y'all an example, and then I'm going to move on. When my children was at Mollison with continuous progress, and Jimmy was making A's, I thought he was doing good. When I walked my children into that school, my children could read and write, and everybody could do math and teach a little brother. My children could, because I did work with them. Most parents work with their children with Sesame Street and all that stuff. Don't be putting all these parents down. But I was also active in the school. Parents used to be active with the PTA and all. They shut down where parents can't really come into those schools. It's hard to get into those schools. And not because of no gun killing or nothing. That happened way before that. And when I figured out what was wrong, my child was so upset, I went to meet his teacher, Ms. Dale, and I said, what the hell is this? And when I realized what they was teaching the children, that when you got an A, you're like on level A. That's failing. B on down, and the classroom had 3 and 4 different levels. You didn't have grades. That's why I said, don't be blaming these parents. And when I found that, man, I was up in the school every day working and PTA volunteering and making cakes and cookies and all that mess. And we launched our boycott. I won't get into it now. Another time I will. And out of that, we changed that system, continuous progress, which is good for the teachers, good for the children, and we fought to put the basal reader and phonics back in the school because they was only doing phonics for the slow children. That's just one thing I want y'all to be thinking about. The schools, and they're building schools, and they know that education is very, very important. Now we're going to go to the politics. I see Conyers, the treasurer, is getting ready to run for. She's running for Congress. I saw that. I know y'all saw it for Danny's seat. I saw that she's running. But I also saw in one of the papers. I think it was the Monday's paper, where in Sun Time, where the alderman, the two. They call themselves, it's a Chinese-Filipino, who call themselves Asians, together. How they was talking about how happy they were to have a seat at the table. And it's a lot to read in that article that I don't have much time to do. And they talk about what they're going to do and what they have done and how they're doing different stuff. And it's really something, and how they call themselves the path here was anything, but sir, they call themselves the AAPI community, and that stands for, I think it's Asian Pacific, AAPI stands for Asian American Pacific Islander, and they talked about what they're doing and how they're going, how they're growing and what they intend to do, and I'm trying to see, I know they're not having that many babies, do they have a lot of folks that shouldn't be doing nothing either, and they talked about more than 20. They talk what they did. And you have to read this article because I really wish I had time to really read it. I really do. I really wish I had time, but I don't have time. Which goes to when I told y'all back during the summer of last year about how all of them was getting together. Tammy Duckworth was right there with them, and you can't get mad at them. I'm just telling y'all, black folks, these folks is concentrating on economics and education, and I don't know what we concentrating on. And they're very serious about their religion and their faith. The other thing when you deal with politics. Oh, they said they're going to sit at the table and represent their community. And I'm sure they will, because they got that new school in there. Now, the mall and Little Village, those folks fall hard. So now they're going to Gage Park. They moving them all to Gage Park. Some might stay there. And they had said that they didn't want to negotiate with the manager of the mall, who became the manager. And that's why they was fighting. And the alderman, it was three aldermen involved in this. Now they, and Lopez, we had how many aldermen you had? You had the 22nd Ward. You had 25th Ward and another ward who came together to make sure that they got put all this stuff together to move these vendors to Keswick, even though a small few is going to stay. And some of them said that the mall is where state rep Edgar Gonzalez said that the mall, he's from Little Village. He said his dad had started working as an immigrant when he came to the United States. That's what but here again, y'all can call and talk about, you can't talk about these people. I'm tired of y'all doing that. These folks come here, all of the government that y'all laid down and all the stuff that you've done, you letting somebody else keep your eyes on systemic racism, white supremacists hate this and hate that, don't go to church, hate your God, do all this stuff. And they said, do that. And y'all running. So in all the things that we have fought for, they're taking advantage of. I can't blame them. I could only blame leadership, who I don't know whether because they don't understand or don't want to do what they're supposed to do. But I found that was, and all these aldermen got together and said, no, we ain't going to let this happen. We're going to keep this. That was economics to them. The same way the economics for the film festival that they're having, Latina Film Festival, they're having with the arts and on the mark, and then they got not only the film festival, but they're doing the down in the park. They're gonna bring all of their talent together, and they was talking about all the folks who are gonna do all the work was Latina, from the fence to everything else, when they do their festival down in Grand Park. Now, it's interesting. I know y'all get tired of me talking about me, but I can only tell y'all about me. When we had the Roots Festival on 47 and King Drive, over 200,000 people came. We had all black vendors, and we had our art and our culture. And when I was reading it, they was talking about how important the culture was. And all the culture of the Latin is going to be at this festival. And I think about 90% of all of the vendors and all, I'm looking for the paper. I had it, y'all. I got so much stuff here. They're talking about all of their vendors. They said their vendors are Latina. Now, who's going to get mad at them about that? See, I think y'all fighting the wrong fight. You see, if y'all keep talking about people and fighting, then you don't have to work. You don't have to work at all. You just can blame somebody else. And those who have the means move out of the community, and they be somewhere else, and they come back, and they keep our people uptight. Our children between those, and I'm going to go to the phone in a few minutes. I think I'm trying to watch these clocks. Which clock am I looking at? Am I looking at the one on the screen up here?
No, the one right there.
Okay. All right. I don't know. Okay, I got it. It was upside down. All right, I got it. I got 3 clocks around me, y'all, because I want to take a few minutes to take some calls before I go on break because Dr. Anderson's coming back. But y'all can talk all y'all want, but until we decide that we want to rebuild our community. Now, I want to talk about how they divested our community, disinvestment from this and that. What about disinvestment from black dollars? And see, if you, the difference of all these things that I'm reading to you, and I'll even give you half of what I have on this up here, is that all of their business and their business people are rebuilding and putting everything back in their community, building business, and they, even though they're moving on, they're still bringing back whatever they're doing, whether they in the arts, whether they actors, whether they business people, whatever they are rebuilding those communities. I'll tell you about the Asian, Pacific Islander and all those folks. That's what they're doing. The Latinos the same. What you saw was they fought for the business. I was reading what they said that they were, they bring a lot of money to the city. And they was, that was, I don't know what I did with that. And they was talking about how much money they make and how much they give back to the city. And how can you get mad about that? Oh, they know ain't nobody taking you nothing. You know, I'm saying that we got to recalibrate and rethink about what we want. We can't have, we can't get folks to turn us on at a dime to go do what they want to do. And what we're doing is we're being led by white liberals and other folks, and even some folks who don't believe in God. They're writing our agenda. And I never thought I would live to see the day that our community would turn their backs on the children. Now, that was the politics I was, and I got so much to tell you about. I can't deal with this. And I talked about the economics, and they, oh, before I went to that, I want to tell y'all about, I know y'all saw it in the paper Friday, in the Sun-Times, where they told the mayor-elect is one, don't mess with the city council reorganization, which was very interesting. I tell y'all to go read that, because I don't have time to really get into it. Because they're talking about the organization they did and all of that, and it's something. It's a mess. Now, whereas I agree that they should not have done that until the council was seated, the new council, new mayor. It's really interesting. Some of the ones who have did it is now getting ready to get wiped out because some of the same folks who pushed them to do it is now pushing to do something else. It's going to be something to watch, y'all. Now, the other thing is, politically, that the mayor-elect got his chief of staff, Ruben Geis. I know Ruben. He was with the OMAC, and I know him. But I want y'all to watch the deputy chief of staff, that he put a deputy there, the Latina, and they talk about her. She's from the Democratic Socialist Party. She took the seat from Martinez. Martinez been real quiet, y'all, since she got that seat. And ain't nobody challenged her, neither, y'all. Challenged Lori and anybody else that's black, but you ain't challenged Martina. No, you challenged the clerk. But then there's something wrong with that, too. But anyway, so she's the second in command, and they talk about all her experience with government, this and that. When they talk about Geis, I know him. They talk about how he handled crowds with NATO summit and all the other stuff, and so he's gonna be the one putting out the fires for Mayor-elect Johnson. The other one we're gonna be dealing with government, which is very important, y'all. The way I read it, I could be wrong. Now I'm waiting to see who's gonna be the corporation counsel. You know, Jim Montgomery was the first corporation counsel, black corporation counsel on the Harold Washington. The other thing. I got so much, I just don't have time. I'll have to bring some of it back next week or another week because I won't be back at 7 o'clock hour because I got Dr. Anderson. The other thing is the deputy, the acting chief said he's stepping down on the 15th. What is it going to be like if he's gone on the 17th? When they get to go through all these changes by selecting a superintendent, this is going to be interesting. I'm watching this process. Will he be in place? Because that's just before Memorial Day, just before it get all heated. Just something for y'all to think about. And the Walmart closing, and I'm going to move on and take some calls, just a couple of calls before I go. The Walmart, they closed. They didn't get 30 days. They closed because they was concerned about looting and all the other stuff. Now, when we got stores and stuff in our community, y'all, we need to work with them to try to help them be pro. We need to be proactive, not after the fact. Now, those who've been out of Marianas on 37th Street, I enjoy going to Marianas. But now, you have to go. It's amazing going. I don't even like to go in there. The way it's set up when you go in and you have to curve. And I asked the manager, why y'all set this up like that? He said because they was riding out there with groceries and you couldn't stop them. And the police couldn't go chase them and either do that or close. If y'all been to Marianas on 37, you'll see. So we got to have an earnest conversation in our community. And we got to recalibrate. We got to relook at what we're going to be doing here. And I said those who have reaped the benefit should invest in our community. And it can be done. All these folks who just been in first generation or just got here, even the ones on the council or in anywhere in government, even in Congress, they're fighting to bring resources to their community, and they're bringing them. Now, they understand government. They have currency and they have country, so they understand government. Let me tell you something, black Americans. America is our country, and this is our currency. We have a continent, Africa, but if you give up your country and your currency, then you let other folks who understand how to set up government come and take your place. It's so much more to talk about that I can't talk about because I got to take at least one or two calls before I leave. But it's just those are the things that I wanted to talk about. Oh, and the other thing is, remember I told you last week about them trying to change the law with the PPA and all that? Well, I have to give credit to the aldermen. They went in there, and Sybil and all them folks, you know, Jim Leach's president of Sybil, but you went to all those folks, and they sent their letter, and they talked to all of them. All of them voted that down because the stuff was the worst thing in the world. It was like it was bad. But anyway, it was shut down. Next week I'll talk more on y'all about it. I want to congratulate those aldermen in the license committee chaired by Alderman Emma Mitz. The day shut it down, Coleman and all of them, when they really got the letter and saw what this ordinance was doing, they voted against it. Thank you. I'll go more into the next week. Talk of Chicago 69. WVON, my number is 773-591-1690. We're streaming live, www.wvon.com. We're on iHeartRadio, take wherever you go. We're on Facebook. We're on Google Facebook. And we're on Google. I mean, we're at Google. Yeah, please, we're on Blog Talk if you miss us. But anyway, I just wanted to say. So, get your coffee, get your tea. Dorothy right there, my coffee, tea, and a conversation with me. I'm going to take a few calls before I go off, take my break. Maybe one or two. But remember, tell everybody Dr. Anderson will be on, like I promised y'all, we're going to talk about black exceptionalism. Let me take Janice before I go. Hello, Janice. Hello, Janice. Hello, hello, hello. Hello, Janice. Go on. I don't think it. What's it going on? Is she talking to me or somebody else? Hello? Okay, I'm going to give a woman 30 more seconds. Janice? Hello?
Ms. Tillman?
I was sitting there.
How you doing, Ms. Tillman? Hold on.
I got a minute. I'm out there.
Ms. Tillman, I'm here. Hold on.
I know, but it took
hold on, my phone. Hi, Ms. Tillman. How you doing? I'm sorry. My phone was messing up there.
Yeah, you got
it. I was watching dishes while I was listening to you. I hate to admit it. I work early in the morning. You know what? What you're saying is true, Ms. Tillman, but we got to look at the church the way it is versus the way it used to be. When I was a kid growing up, we had certain values and certain rules. Kids didn't know grown folks' business. It was some people that wasn't married, but we didn't know it. People carried themselves in a different way. Now it's anything goes. My friend taught the Chicago Public Schools on the West Side. She said those women went through men like it was a TV show. She said, and the principal had to stand up and say, you put one person on this list to pick up your child and one person only. Because every time they get a new boyfriend, they put him on the list. And it was just so many things that the principal had to do.
Well, see, when you recalibrate and look at that, have no reason to be, well, our children cannot read and write.
No, it's no
reason. It might be something. That's an excuse, you know. Well,
No. Let me finish. In the end, she said it got to the point where they fired all the old janitors and brought in new janitors.
Well, see, here we go again. Janice, let me tell you something. I don't want to go there. I'm talking about, see, we always find somebody else. We always find someone else.
The teachers didn't care.
But I'm talking about all my tax dollars and all that money. And why our children cannot read and write? And that's the question. And what are the books?
Because some of the teachers are not properly trained.
Well, most
they don't want to teach phonics. They want to teach the look and see method while they have their kids in private schools and in Whitney Young and in Walter Payton LaSalle Language Academy. That's the way it is.
Well,
straight up.
But if it's up to us. I got to go now. But it's up to Genesis.
But I'm saying, and then with black leadership, is what Art says is true. Community and family code of conduct. I want to say one thing, Ms. Tillman. That 58-year-old man that killed the 28-year-old girl.
I got to go.
And the boy
it's 7 friend. O'clock.
Okay, bye-bye.
It took you too long to come on the phone. I got to go now. My engineer going to cut you off. Talk of Chicago 69 WVN number 773-591-6090. We're streaming live. www.wvn.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook, group Facebook, and Blog Talk if you miss us. At 7 o'clock, I'm going to have Dr. Anderson on. To talk about exceptionalism, but it's so much more we need to be discussing, and we need to recalibrate our community, and we really need to try to think what we're going to. It's a shame what we're doing to our children. We can take the blame. Get your coffee, get your tea. It's 7 o'clock. You come on back and talk to me. I'll be right back.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy. Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Are your investments going nowhere? Here's a tip that always pays big dividends. Invest in yourself, your talent, your smarts, your skills. Maybe it's time to make that investment and start a career in IT or upskill to boost your current career. At My Computer Career, you can bank on us. We'll help you get the right skills and the right certifications to start or advance your IT career. IT keeps growing, so go with the growth at My Computer Career. The right training, the right timing, the right career. Invest in you at mycomputercareer.edu. Start now.
Conference National Association for the Advancement of Colored People is calling for the FBI and the Department of Justice to investigate the Mud Creek area of McCurtain County. The request comes after comments made in a secret recording from county officials allegedly alluding to lynching black people.
When Alan Marshall take a damn black guy, whoop their ass, throw him in the cell, I'd run the chair.
Yeah. Well, it's not like that no more.
I know. We're taking down here on Mud Creek and hang him up with the damn rope.
Yeah.
But you can't do that. They got more rights than we got.
The officials on the audio include the McCurtain County Sheriff and two county commissioners who have all been suspended. Oklahoma Governor Kevin Stitt is asking for their resignations and for the Oklahoma Bureau of Investigations to determine whether any illegal conduct has occurred.
Black clergy and community leaders in West Akron, Ohio, gathered to launch a group that they hope will help heal divisions after the decision not to indict 8 police officers who fatally shot 25-year-old Jalen Walker last year. Marco Somerville, an Akron deputy mayor and current mayoral candidate, joined Bishop Joey Johnson in introducing tribal trauma triage. The group includes school and police representatives along with the Freedom Bloc. The existing wounds over the incident are profound. As Minister Stephen Muhammad of the Nation of Islam said, some do not understand the scope of the case's impact, which places justice even farther out of reach. While Johnson says he's the voice of those being ignored, that he stands for nonviolent resistance.
The CDC is recommending a second dose of the updated COVID booster for seniors. It comes after the FDA authorized the shot this week. People 65 and older can get another dose of the updated Pfizer, BioNTech, and Moderna vaccines at least 4 months after their last shot. The FDA says most people with weakened immune systems can get an additional dose at least 2 months after their last one. Thousands of black people have died from COVID-19 since the onset of the pandemic in 2020.
New York's black Democratic representative, Jamal Brown, and the black GOP Florida representative, Byron Donald, faced off in a spirited debate on CNN.
Republicans are sacrificing our children for the Second Amendment. our children, our most precious resource.
Donald's pushing back.
If law enforcement in a jurisdiction is not have the ability to do its job and hold people accountable, we could talk about various district attorneys in various districts throughout the United States. We could talk about various judges who actually turned down holding people accountable.
The two men were locked in an impromptu debate on the Capitol steps last month, where they had a fiery discussion on the 2024 presidential election and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis.
The son of a soul music legend has died. The Bibb County, Georgia coroner said 59-year-old Otis Redding III has died following a bout with a recent illness. He followed in the footsteps of his famous father, who was killed in a 1967 plane crash at the age of 26. He recorded six albums with the Reddings, a band he and his brother Dexter formed, along with singer Mark Lockett. I'm Terry McCready, along with Kevin Brown, on your home for 24/7 News, the Black Information Network.
It's time to focus with Robert McKay. Quality conversation, protecting, preserving, and preparing our past, present, and future. Sunday evening at 4 p.m. on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
It's Brother Booker of 94 Nissan of South Holland, the home of Get You Done. That's right. If you have a job or a fixed income and been turned down for lack of credit, have no fear. The brother's here.
Get me done, brother.
Without a doubt. Make your way to 94 Nissan of South Holland, where we are the home of Get You Done. When I say I got you, I got you.
Get me done, brother.
Call our Diamond Department today, 708-333-2000. Put in dreams and driveways, 94 Nissan. Nissan of South Holland, 94Nissan.com.
Hey, caregivers. This is a reminder that you have a date with me this Saturday, April 22nd, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Kroc Center in Chicago for the Release the Silence Conference, sponsored by the Alzheimer's Association Illinois Chapter. Hi, this is WVON host and event MC Rufus Williams. All you need to know about Alzheimer's disease, including myths, misconceptions, health disparities which affect African Americans, and treatment options will be addressed by Dr. Carl Hill. If you haven't already registered for this free conference, do it right now at alz.org/Illinois. That's alz.org/Illinois. Anyone affected by Alzheimer's should attend. WVON is a proud partner.
It's time to find a solution. The Chicago Urban League is back with their annual summit on Tuesday, May 2nd, at the Marriott Marquis Chicago in the South Loop. This year, the league will address an important environmental opportunity that impacts us all. It's employment equity in renewable energy in Chicago. Attend their day-long series of discussions that explore the roles of corporations, government, community, and diversity within the clean energy and water economy. Join over 300 business and civic leaders at this innovative summit. It's happening Tuesday, May 2nd, from 8 a.m. till 5 at the Marriott Marquis, 2121 South Prairie Avenue. Get your ticket at shiul.org/summit2023. Chicago, here's your chance to learn more about this $2.4 trillion industry and how our community can become a part of it.
Are your investments going nowhere? Here's a tip that always pays big dividends. Invest in yourself, your talent, your smarts, your skills. Maybe it's time to make that investment and start a career in IT or upskill to boost your current career. At My Computer Career, you can bank on us. We'll help you get the right skills and the right certifications to start or advance your IT career. IT keeps growing, so go with the growth at My Computer Career. The right training, the right timing, the right career. Invest in you at mycomputercareer.edu. Start now.
Cook County Treasurer Maria Pappas with Black Houses Matter.
I've been listening to WVON about the homeowner's exemption, and I never even thought it applied to me. And I finally called in. I would just encourage people to make sure that they listen to the program and talk to the Cook County Treasurer's Office, because you guys are like a gold bar in the ocean.
Cook County Treasurer Maria Pappas with Black Houses Matter. Monday mornings at 11:30 a.m. on the Talk of Chicago. 1690 WVON.
Pete is happily scratching an instant ticket from the Illinois Lottery. So even though the leak in his canoe turned his fishing trip into a fishing dip, Pete's walking on air because he knows anyone could win in an instant. Play today. Be smart, play smart. Must be 18 years or older to play. Game odds available at IllinoisLottery.com.
Hey, caregivers. This is a reminder that you have a date with me. This Saturday, April 22nd, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Kroc Center in Chicago for the Release the Silence Conference, sponsored by the Alzheimer's Association Illinois Chapter. Hi, this is WVON host and event MC Rufus Williams. All you need to know about Alzheimer's disease, including myths, misconceptions, health disparities which affect African Americans, and treatment options will be addressed by Dr. Carl Hill. If you haven't already registered for this free conference, do it right now at alz.org/Illinois. That's alz.org/Illinois. Anyone affected by Alzheimer's should attend. WVON is a proud partner.
Attorney CPA Joe Cordell.
Divorce forces a father to focus on what's most important, his children. You may no longer be a husband, but you'll always be a dad. In the divorce process, this comes down to three key concerns: physical custody, decision making, as well as financial support. Each of these is important, and it's important that you choose a lawyer that cares as much about these issues as you do.
Schedule an appointment with one of Cordell & Cordell's Springfield area attorneys. 2815 Old Jacksonville Road, Suite 103, Springfield, Illinois, 62704. CordellCordell.com.
Are your investments going nowhere? Here's a tip that always pays big dividends. Invest in yourself, your talent, your smarts, your skills. Maybe it's time to make that investment and start a career in IT or upskill to boost your current career. At My Computer Career, you can bank on us. We'll help you get the right skills and the right certifications to start or advance your IT career. IT keeps growing, so go with the growth at My Computer Career. The right training, the right timing, the right career. Invest in you at mycomputercareer.edu. Start now.
This is P. Ray of Black Excellence Hour, a show for people with high self-esteem. As we battle COVID-19, be sure to heal yourself internally by using your God-given immune system as well as any other treatments you choose. Be sure to take lots of vitamins, bake your melanin in the sunshine, and sweat a couple times a week. Put that pop down and drink water to build and hydrate your body from the inside. God gave everybody more than a little common sense. So bring it with you this Sunday to Black Excellence Hour at 5 p.m. on WVON.
WVON 1450.
Live from Xfinity Studios, celebrating 60 years, it's the icon of American radio, WVON, Berlin, Chicago.
It's Dorothy Tillman on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Don't need the road we try.
We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. And I don't mind.
Perry Small will take your call at 591.
Days ahead. But we give our God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, and give up on our children. I'm not going to be talking too long because I got Dr. Anderson coming, I tell you. But anyway, it's 7 o'clock wherever you are in the country, in the state, in the city, in the world. Take that deep breath. I got to do that. I want to get this time for Dr. Anderson. Take a deep breath, y'all. We're going to do the Trinity. Black, 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 black. Black, 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 black. One more time. Ooh, the heart, you know, the oxygen to your brain, to your heart. You know, when you want to breathe, you suck in like you're sucking in, you know, mucus or something. Not, and you go, black, 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 black. Is that black enough for you? Is that black enough for you? Woo! Is that black? One more time, y'all. Yeah, okay. Hello, buddy. Hey, hey. Black enough for you?
Here tonight and plead with you. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. As I said to the group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Tennysonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own Emancipation Proclamation. Let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil.
Yeah.
It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure. Ha! But I want to get the language right tonight. I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful.
Yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and I am beautiful. That's right, exceptionalism. It's 7 o'clock, y'all. 7 o'clock in the city of Chicago at Coffee Tea and a conversation with me at the great WBON, Dorothy Wright Tillman. Our number is 773-591-1690. We are streaming live on www.wbon.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook, Goof Facebook. If you miss it, you can get us on Blog Talk. I told y'all I was going to have Dr. Anderson back, and I told y'all last week I would have him because I think it's time to talk about the exceptionalism of black folks since we got everybody thinking we so down and we so this. So I got Dr. Anderson. Last time I had him on, last time I had Dr. Anderson on, we had a few problems, y'all know, in the station. So anyway, we got him back. And Dr. Anderson, I know that you're not doing many interviews and stuff these days, and I'm so glad and appreciative that you are doing this interview with me. And for those who are listening, you can listen, and I'm going to let Dr. Anderson. What is it I'm hearing? Oh, would you? What's wrong with your phone, Dr. Anderson?
What is it doing?
Stuff like that. Now it was clear. Like, just, it was clear just then. It was making noise.
Is it still making noise?
Not now.
Okay, that's because I'm on. That's why it's not making noise.
Okay. Well, anyway, I won't tell everybody that you can. The phone was lighting up already. But I'm going to let Dr. Anderson teach us and talk to us today about our exceptionalism and whatever you want to, because it's a rare to the half him now. And afterward, I'm going to let y'all take calls during the last 10 minutes. How you doing, Dr. Anderson?
I'm doing fairly well. You know, I'm improving in my health, and I'm coming back and fighting this early in the morning just simply because you made the request.
Thank you so much. And we're praying for you, and we want you to stay healthy. And we're so happy that you're coming on with us this morning. So what I want you to do, I told Joanne to tell you this morning, I want you to talk about black exceptionalism. Something happened to black folks. They think that we can't do nothing. They think that it's all over. We got to do the black and the brown, got to do this. We can't do nothing. Systemic racism, white power, white all this other stuff. And children can't read. In Chicago, children have 11% at proficiency, and there's not an all school. And across this city, Baltimore and everywhere else is messed up. So why is it that our children and our people have forgotten and don't understand exceptionalism? They want to teach about LGBT and all that stuff, but not about exceptionalism. So go on. You got it.
Okay, let's make that real simple. I'm going to be speaking at about 200 miles an hour. So you tell your listeners to keep up, keep their ears open, and make sure that whatever I say to them, take it as God's word, because this is it. Okay. I can't keep delivering these messages, but everything I'm going to be saying to them has been pretty well exemplified and typified and explained in the Powernomic series of five books that I wrote for them after leaving the federal level with the White House and being around two presidents and having been in all corporations and all businesses and government at the highest level. And so I'm not going to try to prove my credentials. Just tell them, sir, this is it. And if they miss this ship before it sails and don't understand what I'm saying, they contact you or to call, go to the website and buy those five books and start reading. Make a tale out of Malcolm X, who says, if you want a secret, put it in a book or a black person will never find it.
That's right, Dr. Anderson. And I know all of your books for folks who don't understand Black Labor White Wealth. A Dirty Little Secret, Powernomics, and then Black Labor and Dirty Little Secret too. But it's very important that our community, and most of my listeners probably have your books, are going to get a present. That's what you need to give your children. Get that and put it in your house. Give them for a present. Y'all call and buy those books, and soon they're not going to be available for y'all to buy, so you better try to get them. Go on, Dr. Anderson.
Then Dorothy, you ask them, why is it that all our kids are still going to school? And since my books are rated by Amazon as being the best-selling books, not only across America, but the best-selling books around the world about race relations, about economics, black economics, and social conditions. And those books right now are number one across this nation and in the Amazon internationally, who sells millions and millions of books. Now, why is it they're not in the schools? And see, I'm tired of telling them the same thing. Why do you send your kids to the school and you got every darn book selection committee is all whites in every city and every state? See, that's what DeSanto's saying. They want to do what you're asking about, inquiring about. Make black children disappear. Make them invisible. That was the whole point of what happened after the civil rights movement in this country. Black people vanished. Black children have vanished, and now they're destined to be a permanent underclass in the society. And even the Department of Commerce says they are now underclass. An underclass means those individuals who have been identified by the system for their entire future being fixed on being either beggars or criminals. We are destined to get wiped off the face of the earth in the very immediate future. And if they don't believe that, let them keep going doing what they're doing, because these whites and these Asians and these immigrants are coming after them.
Well, Dr. Anderson, you said when I had you, I brought Dr. Anderson. We had, when you told the group that I had, you said by 2012 or 2012, we're going to be the fourth or fifth class. I think we're number six now. In Chicago, they, Dr. Anderson, and this is terrible, and these black elected officials could be fighting to get you to do our black history and put together a curriculum for us, but they have put together, as of July 21, they are putting Asian history in required reading in our schools. They got to make sure that Asian history is a requirement. It started in 21. I was fighting those teachers. I said, why y'all down there in Springfield letting this happen? And it's called the Teaching Equity Asian American History. But listen to this, Dr. Anderson, and then I'm going to let you talk. These are the things that they're going to teach our children, not our history now. They got LGBT and all them other things in our history, but below are the specific requirements that must be taught. The contribution of Asian American toward the advancement of civil rights from the 19th century onward. The contribution made by individual Asian American government, art, humanity, and science. The contribution of Asian American community to the economic, culture, social, political, and the development of the United States. Now, our children have to learn that. And those folks sit down, and you only got two agents, one agent in the state of Illinois, and those black folks sit down and voted for that. And we don't even have our history, don't even have your books or nothing like that.
Well, see, what they're doing is, again, trying to make black folks indivisible and disappear.
Yeah.
There is absolutely nothing of very significance that Asians have done for this country. It's black folks.
Right.
Asians were in this country until after the Civil War ended.
Mm-hmm.
And they came here with a preferential status and got superior opportunities over black folks.
Mm-hmm.
And they came here in the 1880s, and the first thing they did was a run to the United States Supreme Court and file a lawsuit called the Yoke and Wick lawsuit in the 1880s, which says that under no circumstances are Asians to be equated to and be equal to or forced to go to school with black kids. That is a law.
Oh, I know you're telling the truth.
It's called a yoke and wick decision.
Spell the word. Yoke. Spell the word, Dr. Anderson. Yoke.
The yoke and wick decisions in the United States Supreme Court in the 1880s. And what it did, it gave Asians could come to this country while black folk were just getting out of slavery and go right into a white community and set up a business. Set up a business as a laundry or a restaurant or cleaners, or work for them. They could come into this country. They were coming into this country, into California, to join the gold rush that black folks were shut out of. The United States would not let blacks come into California looking for gold, but they let the Asians come in. Asians were the people that were putting out all these postcards and posters with ugly pictures of black folks with big eyes and big lips. That came out of Asia. All the way from the 1700s all the way up until about 1950s, they were disparaging black folk. Asians have never, never, never done anything for black folk except be slave owners.
Well,
Asians
let me tell you.
Slaves as the whites did in comparative proportional terms. Why in the hell would a black woman be identifying with Asians?
No, what
and
I,
why would you,
I,
as a citizen, let them teach history in your school, in your community, and you let them get away with it? I would run this song bitches out of my neighborhood.
I've been hollering about this, and we had Senator Shaw and Brookings that already put a bill in to teach black history. Black folks have not moved on. I asked them, why would y'all vote for this and then trying to give us the LGBT and all the other stuff? Dr. Anderson, it is a disgrace, and this is being taught now. Black history is not being taught in our schools nowhere. You know, they just, and right now when you said schools, I know you're right, because right now they're getting ready to build on a former CHA land, public housing land, a state-of-the-art school so that they don't have to go to the schools, the black schools near them. And now I understand why, because the Supreme Court gave them the right. I see now.
That's right. And that's why they should be reading that last book I put out, which covers all these issues, 101 questions that black folks never thought to ask. And the answers and the origin of it and the analysis of what they're doing is in those books. And if you want to see about the school system, look on page 106 in that book. And when you see that where Asians, I mean, immigrant kids are coming into America and going straight in with being equated as being whites. Asians were classified as whites.
Mm-hmm.
And Middle Easterners, and Africans and from the Middle East, they are close classified as whites. Everybody now in America is classified as white except blacks. Mm-hmm. Blacks, and this is what we're going to talk about today. Black folk are suffering from acute ignorance and also what I call a criminal mind, where they're protecting things against their own people mm-hmm. in violation of the United States Constitution that was written in 1865. And but the Supreme Court is the biggest racist organization in this country. They have never, never, never done anything to help black folk. They've always given a pretense they're doing something for black folk, but they always do it for immigrants. Immigrants in this country are supposed to be guests, G-U-E-S-T-S. But they're in turns, they are treating black folk as if black folks are the guests so that immigrants can come in this country and replace black folk in terms of everything. That's what I'm going to talk about this morning. When you're ready to go after it, you tell them I'm coming out to kick butt.
And I want those who don't know that it was Dr. Anderson who put the context together for the affirmative action. She kind of wrote it when he was in Florida to put together the context so that people don't know. And he was with President Carter on the economic team when Carter was president. Go on, Dr. Anderson, for those who might not know.
We have two affirmative actions in this country that they're reacting to. The first constitution, contrary to what black folk have been trying to teach for all these years, they did the best they could, but 90% did not understand what they were talking about. The United States Constitution was the first affirmative action plan in this country, but it was indicated and drawn up by Jefferson strictly and solely for those people who could classify as being white. And that would say they could come into this country and get in and everything that a white person can get if they can pass. And black folk, and if you look, then the next week, next year, right after they passed that law in 1790, the Constitution went into effect in 1789. So 1 year later, the Congress passed the first law in this country, which the very first law that they passed was called the Immigration Nationalization Law, which says we're going to go around this earth and pick anybody that can look like and that can come to this country and be declared as a native person just simply based on skin color, because we got a skin color gradation that goes from top to bottom. Mm-hmm. At the top would be white people. Anybody straight out being white, they can come to this country anytime they want and get all the stuff that we're going to deny black folk. The second one, the color gradation gets a little darker. It becomes to Asians. Asians were portrayed then as yellows mm-hmm. in skin color. They were in second category, second place. Mm-hmm. To get all the advantages. The third one was Hispanics, who had a little blackness and then a little more black than the Asians did. They were put in the third place.
That was the Mexicans. Some Hispanic-speaking people, like in Spain, was darker, right?
That's right. They were darker, and that's why. And their whole purpose was to take over this country by controlling the Caribbean islands and all those islands to bring in black slaves. And there was no such country as Mexico. Mexico did not exist. What was that land down there was called New Spain, and they brought in over 300 damn slaves down there mm-hmm. to dig in the mountains and in the dirt to find gold and silver and put it on ships and send it back to Spain. Mm-hmm. Hispanics have never done anything helpful for black folk. They were the second largest and original slave owners around the world. Mm-hmm. European whites were first. I mean, African. I'm sorry. The first ones were Africanos that were coming out of the Middle East. Those were the first slave people owners. Then after they gave it up, they gave it to the Hispanics. Hispanics were the next biggest slave owners. Every Hispanic that boasts about being a Hispanic, they used that word instead of a Latino or something else. They didn't want to use anything that implied that there was some black in it. Mm-hmm. And so Hispanics were slave owners all through the Caribbean, all through South America, and Mexico became Mexico in name because one of the major Spaniards in this country, he married a black woman and mixed it up, and that's where the color came into Hispanics. Mm-hmm. Hispanics got their color from black folk, but the first president of Mexico then became Vicente Guerrero. His name was Vicente Guerrero, and he said you cannot bring in black people in this country as slaves. Mm-hmm. But he kept bringing them in, and that's how those whites who moved into, Hispanics who moved into Mexico, after they created and gave the name Mexico to them, that's why they fell with brown skin. And at the bottom were blacks. Blacks were denied everything. And that's what we're going to talk about. They've been denied. They are exceptional people. Mm-hmm. They are the most exceptional people on this earth.
Yes, we are.
And what I'm telling you today is that they can survive if they learn how learn history and quit listening to people like DeSanto down in Florida, who said, we don't want to know any history. No, I know you want to stay ignorant because no
I think, I'm not trying to defend DeSantos, but I think what he was saying is the same thing that they got here. You need to read it. Pricks got it. Well, they got the LGBT. They're teaching all in the black history. In that part, they're teaching all about who was gay in the movement, who was this, and all that other sexuality that they mixed into the history, Dr. Anderson. I'll just show it to you. They did it here, too. They mixing in all that stuff with our history to say this person was gay, and they putting the LGBT in our history and all of this in 1619. So that's the history he was talking about, I think. Not to defend him, but that's what he's talking about. So I know you need to know about that.
Yeah, I know about that already, but what I'm saying to you is that that's an intent that was set up way back in 1790.
Okay.
Because that what that is saying is that make black folk invisible so nobody can see them. That way you owe them nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, reparations is popular right now. That's because I raised Cain all over this earth and in the Caribbean, Latin America, Venezuela, Colombia, England, Germany, France, and through Africa. I'm the one that raised hell about reparations and made it popular in this country.
Well, Dr. Anderson, you were here when we passed the reparation ordinances. That's what it, whenever you stop talking, noise come up, Dr. Anderson. I don't know why. But anyway, some sounds come up when you stop talking. I don't know why. But with you and Lorraine Bennett and all of it, we'll talk about that another time. You can talk about reparation. I won't really get into that history of what we did with that historical ordinance that we put together. But go on. And don't talk about the exceptionalism. I want them to understand that they are exceptional in spite of what happened. How exceptional in all the things we've done. That's what it did.
And consistent with your request, I'm here to talk to you this morning about the only two avenues that black folk have to come out and push back and rise to the top of the water.
Okay.
And they've never done this. The things I'm going to tell you today, they have never done.
All right now. Tell us.
And they don't do it. The two things that will save them from being evanished and forced to disappear off the face of the earth, where they're going to be slaughtered, and in about another 40 years, they are through.
They did it to the Indians, didn't they?
The two things that are extremely important for black folk to understand and why, because they don't know a damn thing about history now, and quit listening to white folk. White folks never wrote one word in a book anyplace that was positive for black folk until 1948. They didn't write anything in newspapers, magazines, or books for black folks.
Mm-hmm.
So quit listening to whites tell you about race. You shouldn't be going to them asking them about race and racism.
And that's how they're guiding them and all this being doing all this ignorant stuff. Yeah. They being guided by these liberal whites, Dr. Anderson.
But they don't know anything. Quit asking them. Quit asking whites and other groups about race. They don't know anything about race. They don't even know what the word means. So they've always profited from it. Why would they want to go out and explain something that would tell them they're not eligible to be classified with black folk? So what I'm saying to you, that's exceptionalism. Now what is exceptionalism? In this country has made it this far historically all these years off exceptionalism. That's where this country as a nation would go around the world and declare they're exceptional, that they're an exceptional nation because of certain things they believe in. One, that they believe in democracy. Two, that you can come to the United States as an immigrant and get any benefits that are being offered to anyone else except black folks. You can get it through exceptionalism, by the model that Americans set in the world. And three, that America would be responsible and be the police force of the world. Four, that America would be the only country that would come to your aid in an alliance that's by joining the United Nations. So they put that mess out there that the United States is an exceptional country. Well, here's the truth. There's nobody, not even the United States, is more of an exception than black folk. Black folk are the major exception in this country.
That's right.
There's nobody in this country. No Indians, no Arabs, no anybody. You can't find one living soul that is more exceptional than black folk.
Uh-huh.
And black folk is black folks' fault because they don't understand this and they never told other people. You cannot be an exception. Let me tick off a few of the things that show what black folk are. And so you just keep quiet for a few minutes and listen. Down into things. Black folk were the first human beings on the earth. They were the first human being. You can only have one first, and blacks were the first human beings on earth. Two, that black folk were the first people in America. They came here about 15 or 16,000 years before the Asians came to America, when they crawled across the Bering Straits and came down from Canada and intermarried with Folsom people. The Folsom people were living in the Southwest way before any Asians came to this country or came out of Asia and came here. Number three, that the whole concept of capitalism started off of black folk being slaves in about the 15th century. Six out of every seven people coming to America in the first 300 years were black people. That was a fact that they were the people that were coming to this country, but yet they were not classified as immigrants, because immigrants was a special category saying that anybody comes here from another country, you are an immigrant, and immigrants are guests. Black people are not guests. So you hear these politicians talking about, well, you know, we are a nation of immigrants. That's a lie. We are not a nation of immigrants. Black people have never been immigrants, because the people we should be focusing on now are not even people coming from Africa nowadays. I call the people that should be entitled to reparations that are the basic native people in this country are native blacks. These blacks were people who were born in this country. If they were not born in this country, they are immigrants. I don't care where they come from, whether they came from Europe, Africa, Asia. They are still immigrants. Black people are the only, native black people are the only people in this country who were non-immigrants. Now, next point, that 98% of all the slaves in this country today, years ago they were slaves, but now they're free, somewhat free, quasi-free. Well, those are called native black Americans. And 98% of those people living in this country right now are the direct descendants of slaves.
Well, you didn't say African-American. Now, you said native black. What's the difference?
Huh?
You said the native black American. I heard you said native black, not African-American. You said native black.
No. I don't mix people coming in from Africa as an immigrant with native black people who came here as slaves. They have different experiences, different culture, different upbringings, different opportunities. Blacks coming in from other countries, they are immigrants. They come in from Africa, they were colonized over in Africa. Mm-hmm. In the 1886 Berlin Conference, when they got colonized by all European nations in Africa. That's different from the blacks who were here as slaves, that were born here, raised here, lived here, grew up here, learned a language here, and were culturized in this country. There's a difference between anybody coming from any place than native blacks. As a matter of fact, since all the human beings came from Africa, Africa was the original nation, the first nation on the earth with blacks over there. Anybody coming to America is an African American, since all people on the earth came out of Africa.
Yeah, I just want you to clear it up. That's all. Mm-hmm.
All people, Dorothy, anybody, whites, anything else you want to call, if you came to this country as an immigrant, then you're an African. You're an African American. Mm-hmm. If you came here from Spain, Germany, France, England, Russia, Afghanistan, you are not a native black. You are an African American. Whites are African Americans. All human beings originated out of Africa, and then they spread all around the world and began to populate Europe. They are still African. They still got African blood. Mm-hmm. Instead of some of these so-called black scholars always trying to show how many blacks got white blood in them,
uh-huh.
they're doing it backwards.
Right.
You should be showing that every white on earth, every African, or every Indian, every Asian, everybody on earth has blackness in them.
Yeah.
They came out of Africa.
Right.
Don't be trying to prove how much white blood is in a black person. You should be doing just the opposite. You should be telling all these groups coming out of the Caribbean, mm-hmm. out of the Pacific Islands, out of Japan, China, Korea, all those people have black in them. So you should be proving just the opposite. Quit trying to equate yourselves to whites. Whites now are a fabricated people. They fabricated into whiteness as they spread out of Africa and went around the earth world. And then now they got black folks trying to imitate them. Quit trying to imitate every group that do just the opposite. Push back against the DeSantos and all the white races in this country by saying, you came out of me. Everything you got now, your ancestors were black.
Right.
There's no whites in this country that is totally absent of black blood.
So that's the exceptionalism you're talking about. Blacks understand the exceptionalism. Not only that, how we built this country.
Right, but see, where you get exception, this is exceptionality. Mm-hmm. Only black folk are the total exception. The exception for how they have been treated. No whites, even though those whites had some white blood in them, they still were treated with this. And that was the core point of slavery, is that the slave arrangements set up a tradition that says we bring you here and you got dark skin and a complexion that was set up in 1488 by the Pope Innocent that says we're going to have a new criteria for getting slaves. It's going to be based on skin color. Prior to that time, to be a slave, you had to qualify in one of these three categories. To be a slave prior to 1488, you had to be either owe a person through some personal indebtedness, you could be made a slave. Two, if you were a prisoner of a war, you could be a slave. Three, if you were suffering religious persecution, you could be a slave. But they did not have a category based on skin color. That only came into existence in 1488 when Pope Innocent issued a proclamation that says that we're going to change and expand the concept of a slave. We're going to stick in a fourth criteria, which would be skin color. And that's how black, that's where racism started, right there with Pope Innocent from the Catholic Church that put that out in 1488. That's where racism came from. Tell these black people, anybody, whites don't know anything about history, keep your mouth shut if you don't know anything.
And tell these black folks to stop talking about racism. They got them, Dr. Anderson, by telling them racism and white supremacy. And them, that's all black folks saying now. They're not even trying to be who we are. Racism and white supremacy. I'm so sick of hearing that.
Right. Quit trying to be what white and imitate whites. This should be just the opposite. All the white people in this country, Asians, Arabs, and Hispanics, they should be trying to imitate and see how they can become like black folk. Don't go and try to be what they are like. Everybody in the world that right now should be trying to imitate black folk and say, let us be black, like black folk, native blacks in this country can be. So I only gave you six of the criteria for why black folk are exceptional people. They are different people. Nobody has experienced what native blacks have experienced in this country. Nobody has gone through what black folk have.
Wait a minute.
All the people that were denied property.
I want to say something, Dr. Anderson. For those who are listening, Dr. Anderson, wait one second. For those who are listening, I don't know how soon to get you to get the book if you order the book, because I think I'm going to bring Dr. Anderson back for part two next week, but I want you to order the book between now and next week, because there's no way he's going to be able to do all the stuff he got to do. And so you all need to order the book from Powernomics. Where you order from? Powernomics?
They got to buy those five books.
Where they get them? How they get them, Dr. Anderson? I hope you, if they do them, order them today, you can get them to them from next week. How do they order them, Dr. Anderson?
Dorothy, you got to tell them immediately. Go out and start buying those five books called the Powernomics Pack. They can go to their website and get all five books for $100.
Okay, what website they go to, Dr. Anderson?
These books will tell them everything they need to know. And they can go straight to the Powernomics website and order the five books. The five books are Black Labor, White Wealth, Two Dirty Little Secrets books, the Powernomics Plan, and the last one is called 101 Questions That Black Folk Have Never Asked and Don't Know a Damn Thing About. That's why they are not progressing.
I got you. Now, hold up for one second. You got to help me here now. I want you all to order those books. Because for those, I know my board is lit up. I'm going to try to take a few calls before I leave, but I'm going to have Dr. Anderson back next week, and then I'm going to have him answer more of your questions, because there's no way he's going to be able to tell you all the stuff he needs to tell you, because I do want him to go through the dirty little secret, all those secrets of us. It's a lot of stuff I want to do. So I'm going to bring him back for part two next week, but we're going to keep on talking now. Y'all hold on. I might take a few calls before I leave. When I get y'all, you're going to have to do just ask your question and get off when I get you, but I'm going to let him, Dr. Anderson, it's a 7:45. I'm off at 8, but I want you to go a few more minutes, but I'm going to have you back. Ask Joanne, can I have you back next week for part two?
Do that for you, but again, I had to make 2 points today. I've only talked about exceptionalism, but also right behind exceptionalism means black folk have to build their communities and sort of going towards blackness, positive blackness, because what's going to happen now, blackness is the most powerful thing on this earth. In the next two decades or so, you're going to find out the greatest power in the universe and on this earth is blackness. And you're going to have white folks pouring in trying to figure out how to get some black in them, because they're destined to be wiped off this earth by the sun rays, and then white folks do not have the skin color to protect themselves against the sun
and
the breakdown of climates on this earth.
Yeah, the melanin.
And I haven't gotten into that yet.
Okay. Well, what I'm trying to say, Dr. Anderson, is I got 15 minutes before I'm off the air, and I'm going to have you back next week for part two, but I want you to – because we got to continue this exception that I need more than this little time, but I'm going to – because I'm going to try to take – a few calls before I leave. But in the meantime, I want those people to order these books. And if they order them today, maybe you can get them out to them so we can be able to discuss it next week. But they should order the books, powernomics.com.
I understand, Dorothy. But see, if they're going to ask questions, if the question is not relevant to what we're talking about, don't answer the question.
I won't. Don't worry. Dr. Anderson, listen to me. Listen to me. Listen, and you got feedback. My board is lit up. I have to take one. I'm going to take some before I leave, and I'm going to get my, in about 10 minutes, too, I'm going to take some. But I'm also going to have you back next week for part two. But go on, because you got so much more to talk about. I want you to talk about the Dirty Little Secret. I want you to talk about power. I'm going to continue the exceptionalism, because we didn't have enough time for you to do all. You can't do this stuff in no hour.
Right. And I didn't. There were 20 points on why black folk are different from anybody else in this country. Nobody can equate themselves to black folk. No gays, no transsexuals. They cannot. That is illegal and unconstitutional. That's why the 13th, 14th, and the 15th Amendment said that. The civil rights laws that were passed in 1863 through 1865 were strictly and solely for black folk.
Right.
That's what the House case told them in 1740, that you cannot have any other group classifying themselves and coming in to get benefits that were equal to black folk, because unless they are black, and that was called the Slaughterhouse case, and it said very specifically that no white person, and obviously I just told you all white people in this all around the world are now trying to classify themselves as in these very broad ambiguous terms that are designed to make black folk disappear, like multicultural, like called people of color, like minorities, putting black folk in the categories called minorities, and then equating gays to them. It's illegal, unconstitutional, and it's immoral to be equating somebody's personal habits for sex and equate it to all these years of suffering, to 465 years of black folk being mistreated, enslaved, and slaughtered, and shot, and killed, and hung, trying to equate that to them saying, I want to screw another man. I want to screw that. That is illegal and unconstitutional. And black folk, you better stand up and quit accepting that crap. You're going to disappear. Nobody is equal to black folk in this country. They don't have the experiences. They have never been taught that. They've never been denied all the things that I haven't even gotten to yet. Everything. And it was black name was on, and pictures was on every dollar during the Confederacy, which says the most important thing in this country is black folk.
That's right.
Because the Confederate dollars and money all had images of black folk.
Black folk was kind. That's right now.
You didn't have any gay people on dollars and money. As a matter of fact, two of the biggest-ass slaves owners in the South were called the Two Sisters down in New Orleans. They had a big restaurant that's still there, and they were two of the biggest gay women that was shacking and racking. They were the two biggest slave traders in Louisiana in New Orleans. And they were gay. I can name all kind of gays. Buchanan was a gay. Don't be trying to let the people make all the suffering and deaths of black folk and try to equate it to somebody being gay, what their sexual preference is. If they want to be screwing a hog or a dog, that they can't equate themselves to black folk. Nobody has enslaved any black folk. No one brought shiploads of slaves into this country and mistreated them. Nobody has mistreated them. Let them do their own thing. That's why I told you, start building your own damn communities. Get away from white folks. White folks have told you over and over again that they don't want you, they don't need you, and if you're around them, they're going to mistreat you and still shoot blacks on a regular basis. Start learning to build your own communities, your own businesses, and that's what I'm putting together for you now, and you're going to have that coming out this year. You're going to start rebuilding these communities, inhabit your own communities, your own business, and spend your money with your own people. And until you learn how to do that, you're going to suffer and you're going to die.
Well, Dr. Anderson, one of the things that we have is divestment from those blacks who reap the benefits. They don't come back and help rebuild the community. That's one of our problems. Those on the air, I'm not going to take your calls today. I'm going to have Dr. Anderson back next week to do part two. I'm going to let him finish up, and then I'm going to let y'all talk next week. But this is too important for me to break into him. But I have y'all back next week. I'm going to let Dr. Anderson. I got about four more minutes, Dr. Anderson, and then I'm going to have you back next week. But I want to remind them that they can get Powernomics, call Powernomics. He got a special with all of his books for $100. He can send them to you so that you can read. And we're going to have another discussion next week. Is there a phone number or just the website, Dr. Anderson?
Well, the biggest thing, they have to go to the website or go to their nearest bookstore.
Some of the bookstores might not have them. You know how it is.
Yeah, I know, but I want them to get those books. I'm coming back with you next week, but I want you to spend the whole week telling them to read those darn books.
Well, what I'm asking you, Dr. Anderson, while they look at the bookstores in case they can't get them, if they call today, if they order between today and tomorrow, you think they can get the books out by next Saturday, before next Saturday?
We'll get them out for them in 2 to 3 days at most, ship them right to their houses.
And it's Powernomics, and all those books is $100.
Powernomics number. Call the Powernomics and order the books. And if they don't want to they can order them online if they want to.
What's the phone number, Dr. Anderson? Joanne, tell Dr. Anderson, give me that phone number. 301.
I don't have the damn phone number now.
I used to know the Powernomics number by heart. I'm looking for it. But tell Dr. Anderson, Joanne, write that number down for Dr. Anderson, tell him what the Powernomics is. I got like three more minutes.
I'll have her to call you and give you the number.
I want to say it over the air right now. But that's all right. They can look up the
Powernomics. I don't know. Joanne?
They can ask for Powernomics number that you can get is in Maryland.
Powernomics number.
301-564-6075.
Okay, that's 301-564-6075. You can call Powernomics and order your books, or you can go online with Powernomics. I got a minute. I want you to wrap up, and I see Joanne will let me have you back next week, and I'm going to take some calls next week toward the end of the show. But I want him to get with the rest of the exceptionalism, because he didn't get through all the exceptionalism. He didn't talk about all the things we made, how we built this country. I'm going to have Anderson back next week. Joanne, you got to let me have him next week.
We got
a minute to wrap up, Dr. Anderson, because I'm going to have you back next week, and I want them to order those books. Wrap me up, Dr. Anderson.
And
you got one minute to wrap me up.
Okay, wrap up, and I'll see you next week. I want every blacks to have those books in every house as a book for those kids.
I see the phone is ringing. Okay, Dr. Anderson. Look, I love you. I'll talk to you when I get home, but I am going to have you next week. Thank you so much, y'all. I'm sorry those on the phone. Dr. Anderson. Thank you, Dr. Anderson.
Okay,
I'll talk to you next week. We can take Dr. Anderson off, Justin. We can talk next week to Dr. Anderson. I have to have him next week because that wasn't enough time for me because I wanted him to talk about exceptionalism. He didn't get through half of the stuff, and I'll work it out. But anyway, I want to thank y'all for listening because it's very important that you know who you are economically, educationally, how we do this stuff, who you are as a person. So our history has to be told. Dr. Anderson is one of the greatest fellows. You know, I introduced him to Chicago. I brought him here. And he's worked with me for a long time. And he's really good, known all over the country, all over the world, really. Y'all get those books. If he's going to give you $100 for that set, y'all need to get them books. Dirty Little Secrets, you need to know about that. Powernomics, Upside Down T, you got to know about that. And I want to make sure, I got a minute. We're going to do reparation. I got a minute to You got the power in them. He's into reparation. Do you got the power now? So y'all can hang up. I'm not coming to y'all. I'm going to get y'all next week. Because Dr. Adams will tell you about the power that you have. You got the power. He's telling you that. So what you got to do is use that power. And who you are, what you are. We're going to talk about the Indians in terms of the Freedmen Bill. We're going to finish this with secularism. Dr. Anderson worked for the President of the United States. He was the economics for President Carter. He wrote the format for the affirmative action. And we know who he is. We've had Dr. Anderson in this city, and we had him. Y'all know who he is. And he go around the country. He's not speaking very much right now. He's not on too many shows, and we're just blessed to have him. We're glad he's doing better. Know that you got the power. Don't let anybody make you think it ain't. And I want you to really think about how we're going to save our children and teach them those things, how we're going to pull our children back together, and how we're going to pull our community. I want to tell those ministers who march in today, you got the power. We got the power to pull our community back. We have a template to rebuild our community. We have the same template that we had through our enslavement. We got the same template that we had, like in Jimmy's book, The Black Patriots, when you begin to look at how we built schools, how we built hospitals. Why you got Howard? Because black folks is exceptionally. A lot of stuff we did to help build this country, but we did it in God we trust, and we must stay with that. Dorothy Wright Tillman will tell next week, telling y'all, if you don't have a church to go to, look at our church tomorrow on YouTube. It's on from 11 to 12, Liberty Baptist Church of Chicago. But you got to have God. You got to have spirit. You cannot have no power if you don't plug into the source, and that source is God. And I'm calling on those ministers after they get through marching to come together. Let's have a family meeting as to how we can do in our community to pull this stuff together. Because you too have the power. You're supposed to be God men. You got the power. We got the template. We've always been led by the Spirit and by our ministers. So come on, y'all. After this march downtown, I challenge you, let's get back together and look at what we can do. Dorothy Wright Tillman, enjoyed you today. And until next week, and y'all keep y'all children home. Don't let them get out of nothing. They got the paddy wagon out today, y'all. Until next week, Dorothy Wright Tillman saying, now, reparation now, you got the power. And no, I know they got a new flyer out now where they're going to be. So watch your children, parents, because some of them get caught up in stuff they don't know. And I still challenge the minister after this is over with. I love and respect a lot of y'all that's in that march today. But let's get together after this and let's go home. Bring it on home to me. Let's see what we can do. I love you, Pastor Snell. You know I do. And I know you got the power because you're a doctor. And you know what we got to do. You know a mind is a terrible thing to waste because you operate every day. I love y'all, and I hope that we can get together and bring it on home. That's how we save our children, by educating them. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. Until next week, Dorothy Wright Tillman said, hey, Jane Jr., reparations now. That's right.
Children from my queen's guts to inbreed fear in us. My hands rough, my forefather's hands. God bless us, forced to be a field hand by another white man. Mr. President, I'm here to represent for mine.
And businesses with rocks and bottles, and also aimed rocks and bottles at them.
It was a sweet 16 mess.